Okay, guys. So yeah, so I apologize that the roads are still closed here because of the snow. Which whatever, I know that it's not snowing by you. But whatever, we'll take today and and we will do the halacha lemaisa issue that emerges from the Gemara. So I gave you a source sheet that I used a few years ago for a lunch and learn. But I'll add things as we go because you guys know this sugya a bit. Okay, so again, let's just remind ourselves where we are. So the first source is our Mishnah in Shviat. So as we know, in the context of Schora of Shviat, the Mishnah introduces that atzmo that if you're dying, you can die for yourself in Shemitah, but not for payment. Because you're not allowed to do business with Shemitah, with Truma, with Bechor, right? With animals that died without Shechita, the animals that had one of the Simanei Tarfut, with bugs, creepy crawly things, any of those things you are not allowed to do business with. And then the Mishnah gives you an exception. But sadeh chaya ofot vidagim shenizdamnu lahem minei tmein. But if you are a hunter or you are a fisherman and you happen to trap some of the impure ones, so then mutarim lemachron, you can sell it. And Rabbi Yehuda omer af mi sheyitmaneh lo lefi darko lokeach umocher ubilvad shlotehei umanato bikach. The chachamim osrin. The chachamim only allow it for someone who this is his profession, and then as part of his profession, he happens upon some non-kosher animals, but a private individual cannot sell it, even in that circumstance. And Rabbi Yehuda argues and says that anybody, as long as he didn't intend to capture specifically non-kosher food, so he is allowed to sell the non-kosher animals, the catfish that were caught with his salmon. Or whatever the case may be. Say it again.
When you say he didn't intend, does that mean that he had that it was like chance occurrence that he happened to get one and therefore he didn't intend? Or could it be that he knew he was going to get non-kosher animals, but he was intending to capture a kosher fish?
So we're gonna see, right? We're gonna have to see what the case is, right? What the Mishnah says is nizdamna, if it happened upon him. And then the question is, well, what does it mean to happen upon him? Right? And that's exactly what we're gonna see is Kobe's question, which is how far do you take this? And what counts as accidental, incidental, and what counts as intentional and primary? Is it I didn't mean to for it to happen, but it happened? Is it that I did mean for it to happen, but it's not my primary intent? Right? Which one does it mean? Right? That's what we're going to have to figure out. Now, as we saw, so what is the source of this? So as you know, in the Yerushalmi, in number three, the Yerushalmi has two sources. One is Tmeim Heima Lachem, Matam Alomer Utmeim Yu Lachem. This is number three. Ella echad isur achila veechad isur hana'a. It is tame for you, and the double language teaches you that it is forbidden for you to eat and it's forbidden for you to benefit. Kol davar sheisuro dvar Torah asur lasot bo schora, v'chol davar sheisuro midivrehen mutar lasot bo schora. But anything which is biblical, so it's us to do business with, anything which is not, so it's mutar. And then the Gemara launches into its question, what about chamor? What about a donkey? Why is it that you're allowed to sell a donkey? And the Gemara answers that it's raised for work. Now, as we already noted, there is a problem here in the Yerushalmi. Remind me what the problem is in the Yerushalmi. Is that these two lines seem to contradict, right? The first line implies that what? That the Isser Schora is in some way a derivative of an Isser Hana'a, which is problematic Because, well, it's not really Usher Bahana. But also, it seems to imply a fundamental prohibition. The second line, though, that limits it to a case in which you sell it for the purpose of work, and that's what it's raised for, goes much more into the territory of Gzera, right? That we're not talking about a fundamental prohibition, it's not Nisra Hana'a, but rather, it's we're worried you're going to end up eating it. Now, we didn't yet see, but if you look at number two, the Gemara in Psachim has a similar drasha. And there the Gemara says, Hare Shratzim, Derachmana Amar Sheketz, Hu Lo Ye Ochel. When it comes to bugs, we say it is detestable to you, it shall not be eaten. Utnan, and yet we learn that Sayade Chaya V'Ofot V'Dagim Shen is Damnu Lahem Minin Tmeim Mutar L'Mochran L'Nochrim. So the Gemara in Psachim is talking about in Isser Hana'a. And the Gemara says, is it true that every time there's an Isser Achila, there's an Isser Hana'a? So the Bavli says it can't be, because when it says, or specifically whenever it says lo ye achel, don't, it should not be eaten. Does that automatically imply an Isser Hana'a? So the Gemara says, well, bugs, they don't. Because by bugs, you're not allowed to sell them as your primary profession, but you're allowed to sell them if they happen upon you. So the Gemara answers, that's fine, because shiny hatam de amar kra lochem shelochem yehei. It can't be that bugs are fully asur bahana'a, because the pasuk says lochem, for you, from which we derive shelochem yehei, that it shall be yours. And therefore, it's not asur bahana'a. I hachi afilu lichatchila nami. If that's the case, then maybe you should be allowed to actively go into the business of selling spiders as food. So the Gemara says, no, shiny hacha damar kra, yihu bavadan, yihu. No, there's a limitation because it says, yihu, from which we learn it should remain in their forbidden state. Okay? So, we need to start off with two overarching questions, right? One is whether this is d'oraita or d'rabanan. And then, conceptually, and we've talked about this extensively now, in the context of Shemitah, what is the nature of the prohibition? Okay, so let's start with the second one, just because we've dealt with it as well. We've dealt with it already. So, who holds, right, the Yerushalmi, the first formulation the Yerushalmi implies, and I gave you here in 6, the possibility that the Isser Schora, to the extent that it exists, for non-kosher food and the like, is some sort of mitigated form of Isser Hana'a, right, of prohibited benefit. Now, this is the simple shot of the first line in the Yerushalmi. It seems to be explicitly rejected by the Bavli, right, because the Bavli says, maybe bugs are Asr Bahana'a. No, they can't be Asr Bahana'a because you're allowed to sell them sometimes, right, which shows that it's not conceptualizing the selling of prohibited foods as some sort of Isser Hana'a. And then, as we talked about extensively in Shemitah B and C, which is the Rosh Cirilio, right, which means one of these, which is that selling non-kosher food, at least as your primary profession, is problematic because you're treating it as legitimate commodities, or alternatively, you're expressing ownership over such items, and you're not supposed to do that. Right? So that is three models. And then, as we mentioned, the fourth model, which takes the second line in Yerushalmi more seriously, is that the entire Isser of selling non-kosher food is only Igzera. And that's what we saw in the Rajba, right? Number four, Shekol Shehum in Advarim Shemegadel Otam Adam La'achila Kichazir Ushar Haminim Asurim Bivheima Ove'of. Anything that you raise for food, like pigs or other species, that people normally raise for food, and most of them are not used for other purposes, you can't do business with them, it's a gzera that you might end up eating them, because these species are for food. Right. So here we have four models of explaining the Isser Schar of non-kosher animals. Either it's just Gzeira, or it is some sort of Isser Hana'ah, or as we saw in the Rosh Terilio, it's Usser to treat certain things as commodities, or it's Usser to express ownership over certain things. Okay? Now, the question, in addition to the conceptual nature of it, is this D'oraita or D'rabanan? Okay? So, what would you think, right? Based on what we have, do you think that it's Usser, Mid'oraita, or Mid'rabanan? So, I switch screens for a second. What would you think, right? Is the Isser that we have, is it Usser, Mid'oraita, or is it Usser, Mid'rabanan? Very good. So good. So who holds? Give me someone who clearly holds it's Derabanan. Rashi, right? The Rashba clearly says it's Derabanan. Who have we seen so far that says that it's D'oraita? It's not on the sheet yet, but who have we seen that says that it's D'oraita? Not just Shemitah, but everything is D'oraita. The Rosh Terilio, right? The Rosh Terilio takes it as a real drasha, and says that it is, that it's D'oraita. So here I'm pulling up for you on the screen. This is from the Olamot, sources. You'll see that this continues to be a machloket lahalacha. So the Truman Adeshen in number 2 was asked about a non-Jew. Nachri ratzal mashken li Israel kotlei chazirim lavodam labiribit. A non-Jew wanted to use non-kosher food as a mashkon, as a collateral. So in that context, he didn't like it because you're relying on the non-kosher food. But then in the second paragraph here, he says, but just know, de'ena ela smachta. Right, it's only in a smachta. Yishlomer dafka schoras mechu akram yishum disher ba bekinyan l'rshuto shel Yisrael. Right, the whole thing, this is an asmachta. It's not the real rule. It's just not the real rule. It's not really a biblical law. It's an asmachta, and that, as we saw, is what the Rashba seems to think as well. On the other hand, you'll see that others think that this is not the case. So, the Nod Behuda thinks that the majority view is that it's Derabanan. So I skipped here. If you look where I have my, right here. So he says, Hinea leiti daskamet kol rishonim shurak midivrei sofrim. He thinks that most rishonim think it's Derabanan. The nafkamina for him is memela yesh lintot lahakel be'ezes svarah she'efshar. Since it's Derabanan, he thinks it's legitimate to be lenient whenever possible, right? Whenever possible, you can be lenient because it is derabanan, right? Most people think it is, it's derabanan. However, if you look at the Chatam Sofer says, v'hine, achar shechlatnu, after we've decided to isur de'oraita, that it's biblical, mikol makom modim kulei alma modim she'enu ela b'prakmatia ha'omid la'achila. Still, we agree that it's only food that is only animals that are used for food. And the reason now, according to the Rashba, if you think it's derabanan, it makes sense. Why is it limited to food? Things that are normally eaten, because it's a gzera that you might eat it. If you want to say that it's usser mid'oraita, so then how could it be that it's usser mid'oraita to sell non-kosher animals, but it's still only usser if you are going to use it for food? So here the Chatam Sofer says that at least in the Bavli, right, in the Yerushalmi, the drasha is tmeim heim lachem. But in the Bavli, it's lo ye achel. Right? It's from the pasuk of don't eat it. And that means that it could be that even the biblical Isser, mashma dafka bidvarma omdim la'achila, that even on a biblical level, the drasha is a derivative of eating. And therefore, what? Oh, you're right, right, right. That right on Shkatzim Ramatzim, it says the same thing, right? So this is, so you have this ongoing machloket, whether it's Doraita Derabanan. Now, one nafkamina of that is going to be obviously Suffolk, right? That if you think it's Doraita, so then Suffolk Lechumra. If it is Derabanan, so it's Suffolk Lekula. Another nafkamina, potentially, is the question of, if someone is violating it, do you have to yell at them? Right? Do you have to yell at people who are doing it? Because there's a general rule that mutav yushogegin. If someone isn't going to listen to you, so sometimes Chazal say it's better not to rebuke them, because before you said anything, they were accidental sinners. Once you say something to them, they are intentional sinners. And therefore, it's better to leave them as unintentional sinners. However,
if you have to judge someone like meritoriously, it doesn't make sense to say that you can then go judge them meritoriously, but also like not warn them because you think they'll sin anyway.
That's an interesting question. So judging favorably is a very complicated topic, right? Where, I mean, it's a very good question. I haven't thought about it as putting it together. I mean, judging favorably is complicated. Some people think, first of all, that might not be Doraita. Second of all, it might only apply to good people, right? People who are in general good, so then you have to treat them, you have to judge them favorably. But people who are known to be bad, you don't. And it could, and then, according to many poskim, your average person, you know, it depends on whether what they're doing, how easily what they're doing looks like it's the wrong thing, right? But if someone is selling pig, right, they're definitely doing the wrong thing. I don't know. I got to think about it. It's a good question. I'm not totally sure. It's an interesting question because you know they're doing something usher. That's not the question. The question is whether you know what you know about their intention. I don't know. I got to think about it. Okay. But one of the distinctions that's often brought up in the context of mutav yushogegin is might only be true for rabbinic law or maybe biblical law that's not explicit in the psukim. But any biblical law that has a pasuk, it doesn't apply to. You have to warn people. And therefore, if it's daraita and it's from a pasuk, so then presumably you have no choice but to stop people who are engaged in business with non-kosher food. Okay, so this question of Daraita Darabanan has these two major nafgemina, right? These two major implications. Okay, so let's now again today we're going to focus really on halacha l'maisa. We'll bring up conceptual points, but again, this is not so easy on Zoom. But let's see how this plays out halacha. Okay, so if you look at Shulchan Aruch. Kol davar she'asur min haTorah, anything that's biblically prohibited, af al pi shemutar b'hana'ah, even though it is permitted for benefit, im hu davar ha'miyuchad l'ma'achal, if it is uniquely used for food, asur lasot bo schora, you can't do business with it, o l'alvot alehen, or to lend money using it as collateral. That was the Truman Adeshin we saw. V'afil liknoto la'achilo l'po'alav ovdei kochavim asur. And therefore, you can't even buy non-kosher food to give to your non-Jewish workers. V'chein mashm beit Yosef. Chutz min ha'chalav, sh'arei nemar bo ya'aseh l'chol melacha. Sorry, except for fats. Chilev, not chalav, chilev. Because certain things are accepted. V'im nizdamnu litzayar chaya ve'ov v'dagim t'me'im. And if you happen to be fishing and you catch a non-kosher animal or non-kosher fish, the chay mishin is damlon is nevelav trefa beveito, or you have one in your house, mutar lemochram ubilvad shalit kaven lakach. So you're allowed to sell it as long as you have kavanah. So Shulchan Aruch paskins, first of all, does he paskin like Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda? He paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, right? That even if you're a private person, if you happen to get non-kosher food, so, wow, it's loud behind you. If you happen to have non-kosher food, in your house, you are allowed to sell it as long as you don't have kavana. Then the Rama says, v'tzarech l'machra miyad, V'lo yamtin ad shedei shmeina etzlo. But you have to sell it right away and not wait for it to get fatter and to make extra money on it. V'chein mutar l'gvot dvarim tmeim b'chovo min ha'ovdei kochavim de'evi kimatzil mi'adam. If you lent money to a non-Jew, he owes you money, and the only way he can pay you back is with non-kosher food, you're allowed to take the non-kosher food as payment because that's the only way you're going to get your money back. You're not even allowed to sell to a non-Jew non-kosher food if you pretend that it is kosher. And anything that is only rabbinic, mutar lasot bo schora. So then, as we saw in the Yerushalmi, you are allowed to do business with it. So let's try to understand some of these distinctions. Say it again. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda said that not only a businessman, but even a private individual, right? If he happens to have a non-kosher thing in his house, he's allowed to sell it. No, just on that point. Okay, so I pulled back up the Mefarshim here on the screen. So, let's just look at how some of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch understand this and explain some of the different cases that are brought up. Okay, so if you look here at the Taz. So first of all, the Taz Paskins assumes that the Beis Yosef Paskins like the Rajba, that this whole thing is Dirabanan. Right? That Atam Gzira Shem Yavol Echo Mayam Yatsu Chamor V'Gamal Sha'adam Migadlan L'Melacha. Right? The Rajba says it's a Gzira. However, the Taz himself Paskins that it's D'Oraita. Right? V'Tamahati Sharei V'Perek Kol Sha'a Ita Shu Aser D'Oraita. He says, I don't understand, because the symbol pshat in the Gemara in Psachim is that it is de'oraita, and he notes that Tosfos says it's de'oraita. And then he suggests that maybe even the Rajba thinks it's de'oraita, but it's what we call a gzera de'oraita, that the Torah itself set up a de'oraita. Now, this is problematic, because if that's the case, so why is it limited to things that are food? So he says, Mishum Yehu Arei Advaver Masur LaChachamim Shem Yivcheru Mashe Yehe Asur. So there's this category called Masara Davar LaChachamim, which, as Rav Asher Weiss puts it, is somewhere between Daraita and Darabanan. It's not Daraita. It's not Darabanan. It's Daraita, where the rabbis have the right to define the very parameters of the law, which is surprising because. Why would they be allowed to do that? Okay, did I lose you guys? All right, did the electricity go? Okay, one second. Okay, fine. So continuing where we were. So again, so we mentioned that so according to the Taz, he thinks that it is, that the Rajba might even think it's Doraita, right? That the Rajba might potentially think it's Doraita, which is a bit of a Chiddush. But that's how he suggests the Rajma might understand it. At any rate, he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch follows the Derabanan understanding, though he himself is partial to a more biblical understanding. Okay. Now, in terms of some of the implications of it, so again. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin lekula on the question of whether you're allowed to a private person is allowed to sell that which happens upon him, which again, as we saw, is Rabbi Yehuda against the Rabbanan. Now, the The major question, la halacha, right? We talked a lot about the conceptual issues when we were doing it in Shviat, why there's a difference between happening upon something and planning it. But we need to figure out why, right? Well, sorry, not why, but what exactly are the parameters of this? And we also need to figure out why, according to the Ramah, you have to sell it right away, right? Why you have to sell it right away to keep it in your house. So as we said, right, the classic case, the classic case of it, right, like a fisherman who is going for salmon and happens to have catfish get caught in it. So we need to fine. So we need to figure out, right? How far does that extend, right? As Kobe said, as Kobe said, right? How far does it go? What is it? What is it really about intent? Is it about something else? Okay. So, did I lose you again? No. So if you look through, I'll just show you a few shittot that come up in this context. So, one possible case: what happens if you sell something that's fundamentally kosher, but might have something not kosher in it? So what's the status of that? So that I gave you already on my sheet that the Pitchei Tshuva quotes the Maharit that he thinks that even that is usur, because, so for example, wormy fruits and vegetables, he thinks that's usur, because at the end of the day, that's called selling the bugs. On the other hand, the Pri Chadash think that's not true. The Pri Chadash says if you're selling fruit and they are wormy, you're selling fruit, you're not selling worms, and therefore that's not considered selling something which is not kosher. Now we saw that you're allowed to sell something which is not food. So what happens if you sell something that is food, but it's not human food, right? It's sold as animal food. Is that going to be mutter? So there, Moshe Feinstein argues that it is that it's in fact mutter. He thinks that that's right. That when we say food is usher, we mean human food is usher. Some other implications that we have in these halachot. So there is a radical sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan, which is very, very problematic. And I gave it to you here on the sheet in English, here in number 14, which is that the Aruch HaShulchan thinks, Umizeh yesh li gamkein l'lmod l'amit z'chud al bali chaniyot u'martefim shemachzikim etzlam l'michira b'toch sharei dvarim garim kirvei dagim mishum dezeh dome gamkein l'tzad dagim t'meim v'torim b'yachad kem tshikar ha'izek u'bishvil שערי מאכלים ומשקים המותרים, ואת זה מוכרחים להחזיק גם כן. דמלו כן יגיע להם הפסד בפרנסתם מהדורשים מאכל זה, ואם לא יהיה להם מאכל זה, יפסידו הפדיון משערי דברים. So the Aruch HaShulchan comes up with a wild chiddush. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that if you are a store owner, and you want to capture the market, not just of Jews, but of non-Jews. And the only way that you can capture the market for non-Jews is to sell pig in your store, in addition to everything else you're selling. So the Aruch HaShulchan goes as far as to say that that's considered nizdamnalo. That's not intentional. Because that's not really what you want to do. If you could make a living selling only kosher food, so then you would do it. But you can't do it unless non-Jews are going to come into your store. And you can't get them to buy the kosher food unless they know that that your store can be a one-stop shop and they can also buy their bacon. And therefore, he says that that's accidental, that's incidental, and therefore it's mutter. Now, that seems to be a very radical expansion of the idea of Nizdam Nalo, right? It doesn't seem to work with a lot of the models that we saw, right? It doesn't seem to... Yeah, right? It doesn't, right? Meaning, how could you justify him, right? What does the Achash Shulchan seem to think that the nature of this heter is? Right? It's a very radical chiddush. Say it again, Kobe. Right, right. I mean, I think if you wanted to support the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, so if you remember, the last lines in the Yerushalmi talked about people who make it their business in Shemitah all year long, right, all 7 years, right, all of that, right? And we saw that according to most Shitot, that Gemara is about Psul Eidut rather than about Asur or Mutter. But if you actually think it's about Asur or Mutter, so then maybe you would come up with a radical Chiddush based on that, which is, listen, the reason that incidental selling is different is because your Kavana is not to be, right, an Asur object seller, right? That's what it is. Right, it's like the Rosh Terilio on steroids, right? It's about your perspective. How do I view it? And unless it's my full-time job, so I'm not really looking at it as my job. I'm looking at it as a way of getting people into my store so I can sell them bread and kosher meat and whatever. Of course I'd rather sell them kosher meat. It's more expensive. I make more money. But this seems to be radical according to no matter what model you have, it's really quite a chiddush. And in general, I think the poskim really do push against it. So if you see, for example, I gave you in 15 that Rav Moshe Feinstein just says this is crazy. Valadina nira shalasut chanut bekviyut lemkor lekonim shiirtzu dafka shemkor lehem gam dvarim asurim afshi b'shvil shiknu dvarim mutarim asur mishum dlo shayach lachshiv zek in his domain. He said you can't do that. It's not called in his domain. It's your business. Kevan shu mischar kavua gam lemkor tmeim because that's part of your job. And just because it's the only way you're going to make parnaso, bishvil parnaso lo shayach la'atir, k'mo shasulim kor tmein levat. He said, if parnasa was a heter, then you'd be allowed to just have a pork store, right? But that can't be a heter. That's not the nature. And therefore, he rejects it. In general, the poskim assume that all these yisurim, just like we have a heter when you're selling a cow, a donkey for work. So they assume that if you sell something and you're not involved in it at all for the non-kosher part of it, you're there sort of accidentally, then it's mutter. So for example, most poskim assume that if you are a truck driver, right, Ramosha argues you can drive pig because, right, it really is incidental, right? It's even though the only thing you're carrying is pork, it doesn't matter, right? Your job is you transport things. Whatever the person hires, you don't care. You don't ask, right? Whatever they give you is fine. Similarly, if you have a storage facility, so most folks can assume that even if they're only storing pork, that's still considered incidental because it's not that it's the entirety of what they put there is incidental, right? You rent them this storage facility. What they do it is their business, and that is not. And that is not a problem. And that seems to be also a pretty widely accepted heter. Yeah. The one of the major, let me just run through a few more nafkas, then I'll talk quickly about corporations. I know we lost a lot of time. What can you do? Blackouts, whatever. Okay. Now the Shach, okay, I don't want to get too much on the Shach. The Shach thinks the Isser might be more about Marat Ayin. Fine. Right. So, okay, fine. No, we probably should address that, right? The Shach seems to think the Isser is more Marat Ayin. Now, what nafkaminas might there be? So here's a few. So as we talked about, what about animals that are for work? So again, according to the Rashba, it's not Asur. According to the Shach, it's not obvious. According to the Shach, something that's being sold for work but might also be used for food is probably Asur because of Marat Ayin. Now, selling something that is not for food at all, again, the Rashba thinks that it is usur if it's the type of thing that is used for food, but others might think it is mutter. We talked about the socharim. We talked about that. Fine. We talked about what if having a store with non-kosher stuff. Right. One of the big questions is what if you're selling it in a way that you will never be in contact with it? So if you think it's a gzera that you might end up eating it, so then presumably if you have no contact with it at all, so you're like a middleman, so then it might be mutter, and this is in fact that the Aruch HaShulchan paskins. However, the Chassam Sofer says no, because if you think it's fundamental, then the fact that you're not in contact with it, right, you're a middleman, doesn't necessarily help you because you're still actually selling it, and that's the position of the Chassam Sofer, that's the position of the Beit Avi. Okay, we talked about the truck case. Fine. Okay, because we're really, really out of time, I'll just say that the most common, probably, Shiloh that comes up within this context is owning shares in a company that sells non-kosher food. Now, this gets problematic because in halacha, the status of a corporation is very, very questionable, right? There are those who think that halacha recognizes the notion of a corporation and therefore it is beyond the sum of its parts. And if it's beyond the sum of its parts, then the fact that you are in a corporation doesn't mean you really own any non-kosher food, right? Well, not necessarily, right? Because it could be owned by non-Jews, right? It could be that it's owned by non-Jews. They're allowed to sell it, but you have portions, right? You have a portion, you have a percentage in it. So it's not an avera, but you have a, right? The isser isn't misayaya. They're allowed to do it. The isser is that you're not allowed to. So maybe he's going to sell to Jews. You might have to deal with that, and that gets into really lifting Iver. But let's assume that that's not the case, right? You could isolate it. You can't, but whatever. So again, there are some people like the Ruggedshaver who think that in halacha corporations exist as non-human entities, and therefore they're not chayav mitzvot. And therefore, since nobody owns the corporation, you don't violate. And then in the other extreme, there are a lot of poskim who say, no, halacha doesn't recognize corporations, per se. And therefore, if you own shares in a corporation, and it's selling non-kosher food, so you are selling it. And again, this is a very complicated sugya, but I gave you a summary in 11 of basically five different positions. Right? That there are some people who think no one owns a corporation, and therefore it's always mutter to own shares in a corporation, and you don't have to worry about mitzvot arvera, and that includes lending money berivis, that includes selling non-kosher food, that includes owning chametz on Pesach. Some poskim say that if you're a controlling shareholder, then it's usur, because then you're considered an owner, but if you're not a controlling shareholder, then it's not usur. Some people arbitrarily pick 15%. Some people think that anyone with say, even not controlling, but anyone who owns enough shares that people care what he says, so that already shows that he is involved, and therefore he has to worry about it. And some people say, no, anybody who owns a corporation is usur, and therefore you're not allowed to own any shares in McDonald's, in Burger King, in the like.
Anybody that contributes to an economy that has stores that sells non-kosher items.
No, because this is not a lifnei iver issue. This is an ownership issue, right? It's an ownership issue, right? You're right. The question of being involved in society, right, and lifnei iver and the concentric circles of lifnei iver, that's very complicated to apply here. You're right, and I can send you an article I wrote on the topic. It's a chapter. It's a section. Forget a chapter. It's an entire section in my book. It's like whatever. It's a fifth of the book. I've thought about that a lot, but that's not the issue here. The issue here is really ownership per se. Okay, I see. I'm already out of time. So let me Hey, the blackout really killed me here, and I lost my train of thought. But let me quickly summarize it again. Okay. So yeah, yes, Toby. What? Well, is Ray Ginsburg or Brian Krasinski, whoever's coming? Okay, so then I will really try to summarize it. Okay, so let's quickly summarize it again. Okay, so we proposed several models for the ISSER of doing business with non-kosher food. As we saw, it could be a derivative or circumscribed ISSER HANA. It could be that it's about you can't relate to it as your profession. You can't relate to it as an owner. Those were based on the Rosh Cirilio. It could be just a gzera that you might come to eat it, which is the Rajba, and it might be, according to the Shachmarat Ayin, that people think you're going to end up eating it, which is even more makil. Then within that, you have the Machloket, is a Doraita, the Rabbanan. We saw Tosud thinks Doraita, the Rosh Cirilio, we saw thinks it's Doraita. The Rajba probably holds it's the Rabbanan, but the Taz thinks that's not true. The Taz thinks that it is Masar HaKos of Lachachamim. Nafkaminas of Doraita, the Rabbanan are Safek. Another possible Nafkamina is whether you have to try to stop someone who you know is not going to listen, kademutav yushogin, etc. We had the machloket in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, whether the heter of nizdamnalo applies only to people who it's their profession or even to private individuals. Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the more makil position, like Rabbi Yehuda. We tried to see some of the implications of this. What does Nizdam Nalo mean? So we saw the very radical Aruch HaShulchan, that Nizdam Nalo means even if I have a supermarket and I always sell non-kosher food because that's the only way to bring non-Jews into my store, that's considered Nizdam Nalo, which seems to be based on some sort of Rosh Cirilio-like perspective in the extreme, that it's about how you relate to it, and if I would rather not be doing this, but I don't have a choice, so then it's Mutter. Most poskim reject this, like Ramosha, and say this is really a bit too extreme. Because there you're doing it bechavana. We saw that the poskim in general are pretty makel with things where it's incidental, not just in the sense that it happened by accident, but also incidental as in I'm not really involved with the food, right? I'm selling storage space or I'm a truck driver. There, Ramosha assumes that is called incidental by definition, right? It's just that I'm not involved in the non-kosher thing. The fact that non-kosher food is in my truck is really not the issue at all. It's not even the Isser Schora, right? It's totally outside the parameters of the Isser Schora. We noted that one of the most important cases in modern Psak is corporations. However, we noted that with corporations, it really is quite complicated because you really are, you do own it. If you hold like the Rajba, so potentially it could be mutter because you have no contact with the food at all. But if you hold it any fundamental one, and it's really about doing business, not just because you might eat it, so then you need to deal with the question of who owns a corporation. And we saw that there are some people who think that everybody who has any shares in a corporation are owners. And if that's the case, you can't own shares in a corporation that sells non-kosher food. And the other extreme, you have the rugged shepherd who says that nobody owns it, and therefore it's totally fine. In the middle, you have all types of position that try to deal with controlling shares. How you doing, Steiner? Controlling shares, 15%, and things like that. As I said, some of the other cases that this really comes up are kosher shechita houses where things happen to be nevela. We saw that there's another machloket. What about something where you're selling a kosher thing, but it might be not kosher for external reasons, like selling fruit, but the fruit are buggy. So as we saw, that's a machloket achronim that the Pitkei Tshuva quotes. On the one hand, you might say, listen, I'm selling fruit, and the fact that there are bugs and therefore Jews can't eat it is not really the issue. And other people will say, no, what do you mean? You're selling buggy fruit. If that's what you meant to do, then that is usher. So that's the machloket in the Achronim. We dealt with the question of what about sirsur, right? Where you are, you never actually, you're a middleman, and therefore you never touch the food itself. So again, if you think like the Rajba, that it's just a gzera, you might eat it. So the fact that you're not in contact with the food might make it better. But if you think it's more fundamental, that you're not allowed to sell it, so then presumably it's still usher, and that's the position of the Chassam Sofer. Um, Yeah. Okay, let's, fine. Let's leave it there so that you can go to Roy Ginsburg. So again, whatever, it was what it was, but at least we covered some of the halacha l'maisa issues in business, and I don't know if I'll see you guys later. I still don't know if the roads are going to be open, but hopefully by Sunday, assuming I haven't caught corona from my son, then I will, you know, come in, we'll have, and we'll start with Chet Dalet. Okay. Shkoyach, guys.